Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here till 6:30 tonight, and then we throw it to the Saints Radio Network where our Mike Hoss takes over, and he'll have on Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and his guest tonight will be Saints special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. And at 7:30 tonight, it'll be Monday Night Football, and we get to see Aaron Rodgers back.
Hopefully he lasts more than four or five plays.
Yeah.
You know, and Achilles. Listen.
They're relevant with him.
I think it's good for the NFL.
I agree with you.
Now, think about this. I cheer for damn New York. A big city and all that. But the Jets are like a poor man's big city, if that makes sense. The Jets, they hope of a heyday like Joe Namath. Think about when that occurred. Now, they've had playoff teams, but not winning a Super Bowl. So, listen, if you could say that, if it makes sense. You know, you look at Detroit, Cleveland, that's blue-collar teams. Well, the Jets, not that the prima donna Giants, they suck. But, the Giants have won Super Bowl. But you look at the Jets. I think that'd be awesome for the NFL if the Jets were truly relevant and you have Aaron Rodgers, all of a sudden you might have more people eating mushrooms and stuff. And stuff.
Don't say nothing bad. Jake Plummer's made a pretty good living off of it. I showed you that article with Jake, man.
But Dave, when you think about this prime time to kick off an NFL season, you look Thursday Night Football. And what occurred there, how you watch it to the end. And now they go to Brazil Friday night. You look at the Eagles. You look at that game. Then you look last night, Rams and the Lions. So to me, it's beyond the trifecta. What, the quadfecta? I hope the game comes down to the wire again tonight between the 49ers and the Jets. And if you're a Saints fan, you got to cheer for the AFC. You got to cheer for the Jets. Don't cheer for no 49ers. That's NFC. Even though I want to say, what did Mike get? 3.5 point
three
favorite,
and a half.
The 49ers. So, but no, it'll be interesting. Hey, Dave, it's reality must-see TV like we have here at the Super Slammer.
There's nothing exactly like pro football reality TV. They're the biggest stars of reality TV today, pro football. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Man, how well do you enjoy that game and the shock value of, wait a minute, where was this team?
Yeah, no, man.
Where's this team been?
No, man, and the dome's all shiny and sparkly, all reconfigured, and they get treated to a game like that, man. Well, I mean, it was incredible.
Well, you say we got the right stadium, we got the right team, and, Dennis Allen keeps it on even keel because he knows the task at hand. This is one of 17 games, so we got 16 more to go. And again, it's what I've been doing for me lately. And I've said this, and I say it jokingly, but we beat the damn Cowgirls. We might have a damn parade, Dave.
at the Slipper?
Yeah, man.
No, Dave will set that up. Dave will set that up for that parade.
No, the Who Dat Nation is going to come to life. Because we're under the radar, and we love that. We're under the radar, but if we 2-0, how in the hell they can't talk about us now, especially beat Jerry Jones and the Cowgirls? Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, listen.
And after he cut Dak that really nice check, how'd you like to be in that spot?
Man, I held out for a whole year trying to make $1 million. Now they give Dak Prescott $60 million.
Like somebody told me, Mike, you poked the bear.
No, it's like that, it's all relative. It's the market, whatever comes about.
But, come on, $1 million and $60 million ain't no relevant, no market.
Well, it just shows you
how the market's changed.
Let me see, that was 90, so 2000, so that's 35 years later. No, it's like, Mike, if you look at 90. 1990, so you look previous 35 years. So if you look at like 80s, 70s, 50, the mid-50s, and what they were paying. No, I say why it's relative because, like Jim Finks used to tell me in negotiation, when I played quarterback, they only paid me $12,000 a year. But I said, yeah, you could build a brick house for $15,000. I said, well, what are you talking about? So they was all
I know one thing. Once Marino saw you sign that contract with the Saints, his contract was no $1 million.
No, it was a couple of million. Him and Eric Dickerson. You remember the running back, Eric Dickerson?
They cashed in off your deal after that.
Go, who's this Hebrew guy from the USFL?
Man, what? You know? We want our money now.
But yeah, but I have my long-lost English cousin, my Anglo-Saxon cousin, Justin Herbert. I'm cheering for Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. That's my dark horse.
He got paid, too.
Hey, listen, they don't expect Justin Herbert to win the game. Look, I know it was the Raiders, like we played the Panthers.
Man, look what J.K. Robbins did in that game.
But look how the Chargers, their game, like how they're running the ball.
J.K. was awesome.
I'm just telling you. You know what, fans? Realistically, you want to be entertaining. You want your quarterback to throw for bukus of yards and all that. But did you win or lose the game? Don't y'all think that was a magical game by Derek Carr last year? This past game against Carolina, he threw for 200 yards. Not 300.
Not 400.
None of that. It's winning football. Look how efficient he was. I'm telling you, that's what it all takes.
Complimentary football.
Yes.
You were able to run the football. Funny story, Manning Passing Academy, I get my chance to talk to Justin Herbert, and everybody's saying, that's the guy who does the show with Bobby Hebert. And he was like, Mr. Mike, I got to tell you, we related. And somewhere down the line, that R got put in my name. One of us had a relative that got in trouble, most likely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the
and
whole
so
thing,
he changed that. They put that R in there, headed out west, and Bobby's relatives went south.
You know, everyone looks at their genealogy, and you break that all down. All I know is we some badass barbarian Germans. we're a Germanic tribe, and the name Abraham Herbert, Hebert Herbert and all that, Hybert. You know, in Germany, they went to England and some went to France and all. So that's what it's all about. But all I know is that's one community or a group of people that the damn Romans couldn't conquer. They could conquer the Gauls. And, you know, they could go, they went to France and England and all that. They couldn't conquer the damn Germans. That's one thing. That's some bad warriors there. Barbarians.
Dave, tell everybody what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
Oh, man, really, you know, watching the storm like everybody else. We'll know, have some more updates on by tomorrow, I'm sure. But this weekend, have our Rumble on the Gulf, our motorcycle classic car and Jeep night. Under the hotel.
So Dave, that's still on the plans, even dealing with the storm?
By Thursday, we'll be okay.
How quickly it picks up in speed tonight when it makes that turn of the
to the north and then to the northeast.
How quickly it goes in, if it does, you know, because a big little jog to the west.
Because, Dave, when you think about cruise on the coast and how that has grown.
Oh, yeah.
And how that is a part of people's
Jeep
life.
Night.
And their plans.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, just elaborate on that more. How much has grown?
I think right now they have 49 states registered in two foreign countries.
How about
that's how many. That's people come from all over the world. So
that wanting to be involved.
But the Thursday night, man, if we all go soon, we don't have to cancel it. Harvey Jesus is going to play this Thursday night.
What?
So, yeah, Harvey
Jesus.
Oh,
man.
Mr.
He's
Fast
still
City.
Playing?
He's still
playing.
Yes.
He's like going strong like Coach Morris.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty,
right.
I always tell him this. He's the first concert I ever went to.
Yep, yeah.
But it wasn't Harvey Jesus back then. He was playing in another group.
No.
But he always laughs. Mike, you make me feel old. I say every time I get up in the morning, I feel sort of old. So I get that part.
Hey,
but,
the bottom line is just keep moving because it's better than the alternative.
You know, that's right.
He's been doing it for over 40 years.
Well over 40 years. It's more on the five side of town. Dave, what else you got happening here at the Slipper?
Man, we're giving away another Ford Ranger on the last Saturday of September. And also, too, our gift of the month is a great 40-ounce tumbler that you can get when you earn 4,500 tier points at the in the month of September. the big 40-ounce, one of those metal cups.
Yeah, I get it. You know, everybody, you know, they wanted them little heaters, you know,
yeah.
that y'all were giving out last year. And I think they were getting help with to bring it to their vehicles.
And back but Dave, what is that, a tumbler or something?
Yeah, the tumbler.
Yeah, those
you see all
metal
the girls
tumblers.
Carrying around the tumbler with the big straw coming out of it?
Yeah, that you can drink out of.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'd rather when y'all give out those grills.
Oh, yeah, man. Those grills are big.
You know, I mean, I'm trying to keep it real for the folks here. Now.
And we're doing it. And we're
well,
doing
he's working his way from tumbler to grill.
Okay.
We're going up. We're doing the big flat screens, too, every Sunday through Thursday. October, November, December.
Who doesn't love a flat
everybody
screen?
Everybody can use a big
flat screen. Yeah, because, I mean, come on. You want to watch the games on TV.
Exactly.
And you want the flat screen. Oh, man.
Well, everybody, you know, like, I just came to mind, like a flat screen. Okay, well, we all love, who doesn't like TV now? You can be old, young, whatever, you're programming, and all of a sudden, and you want, is it made in America or not? All I know is if I can get an unbelievable screen, and it's not made in America, you think I give a hell if it's, like, made in Korea or something? I'd rather, if I get a quality, unbelievable TV, unbelievable in my man cave, whatever, and I'm playing $400. Well, but if it's made in America, got to pay $800. I don't think so. I mean, I'm a capitalist. I mean, I'm like, come on.
Now, Bobby, do you have the big 75-inch TV yet?
Yeah, no. JoJo takes care of me. She has TVs everywhere, and I love it.
Man, I got a 64. I ain't got quite that one yet.
No,
but I got nine TVs at the house.
It's amazing. I pay for so many damn channels in the month. You can't watch it all, even if I just never left the couch. And I watch all the channels.
Some of it's not good.
You remember you had like four or five channels, whatever, and you didn't have a decision. Now you can't even watch all what's for you have the opportunity.
And now the good stuff is almost the same night or the same time.
Well, and you know what? Everybody says, like, Peacock, I don't know if I like that at
what?
All. But all I know is I said, oh, no, my wife, my JoJo got Peacock. I mean, no, I end up getting it just to watch the NFL games, certain games. So.
And two is if you watch the Olympics, and I watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
I saw it a lot of it on Peacock. Dave, come on down to the Silver Slipper, right?
Number one buffet on the coast.
All right. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Dave!
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and Mr. and Mrs. Houdat Nation, and hail to the mighty Saints. First of all, to all my friends down in South Louisiana, please be careful. Mike, you got a very nice birthday present yesterday, and the rest of the Houdat Nation got to share in it, because there is nothing, my friend, like going into the fourth quarter of a football game knowing that you have the opponent put away and for good, and you can just sit back and relax and drink some cold ones. Before I go on with anything else, I'm not a Nickel State football fan. I don't follow the team like a lot of people do. But I got to say that I got to send out a great deal of credit to Nickel State coach Tim Rebo. He had his team ready to play on Saturday night. And he didn't back down from the Tigers. Obviously, LSU was a much more talented team, and they won in the end. But, you know, he played right up nose to nose with them a lot of the way, and I was very impressed with him.
Yeah, Big John, listen, I've known Timmy for a long time, knew his brother Rusty, who was an All-American linebacker at Nichols, actually played a couple seasons with the Saints. And, man, he's done a great job rebuilding that Nichols program. But, man, they hung in there. What a great game from Colin Guggenheim. John Curtis, high school quarterback. They converted him to running back. He's sort of a poor man's version of Taysom Hill in that, you know, he doesn't really play a lot of quarterback other than the power runs, but he running back, fullback, H-back. And Bob and I talked about this. He can go to his grandkids and say, hey, y'all can talk all that smack y'all want if you went to LSU. Man, look what I did against the Tigers. Didn't win the game, but, man, Colin had – and I've gotten to know him throughout the years, and just a great kid.
Well, and
obviously, and I nothing but respect for him.
Well, you know, Big John, what I'm worried about going into that being LSU going into the South Carolina game, they're going to go on the road, start SEC play, is that how are they going to run the ball? Because you know, you might say we have 8 or 9 in the box, but you can have 8 or 9 in the box, and you're still averaging. 4 yards a carry, whatever. Or your running back is making one man miss. But it was kind of the same song and dance. If you look against USC, which they averaged 3.1 yards per carry, you know, you take away the long 39-yard run by John Emery. And then against Nichols, they had 21 carries, 64 yards. And then you look at it, all of a sudden, Nichols State has 178 yards rushing. Versus LSU having 64.
I know what South Carolina's going
to
do.
Yeah, they're going to run the ball. They're going to run at LSU to see if they could stop them. So that'll be interesting. Mike, was they transfer from Arkansas?
Rocket Sanders.
Because if you look at it, they had against Kentucky. They ended up winning that game. But I was telling Mike this and Big John, that South Carolina, it's going to be 11 o'clock kickoff Saturday morning in Columbia, South Carolina. That if you look right now and how you're trying to establish a team and how you think you're going to win, right now South Carolina leads the SEC in rush attempts through 2 weeks. Now, they gained 234 yards rushing. That was an ugly win against Old Dominion. And then they had 112 yards against Kentucky. And the score looks like that Kentucky really didn't have a chance. But they still attempted to rush the ball 34 times. So if you look in the first two games, now he's rushed, and he did this against Kentucky 13 times, 54 yards. So I could see them, considering what Nichols did against LSU's defense, that they're going to run the football. And then with LSU not having Jacoby and Guillory, with him being out because the Achilles tear, whoever you're putting in there, I'm going to see.
Neal is good.
If you're going to stop it. So, no, this could be an unbelievable.
It's a big test for
so
LSU.
So I'm telling you, Saturday morning coming up at 11 o'clock. Is that on the SEC Network, Mike? Or what is
and
I think it might be on ABC.
And game day.
It's there. Yeah, the game day. Yeah, they're there in Columbus. So, there's a lot of pressure on LSU because, the bottom line is that you win or lose the game. But it's not like LSU fans are confident right now. Like if you're a Texas Longhorn or Georgia Bulldog fan, I would say that it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen against South Carolina. And the challenge is there because then – I mean, you got UCLA coming to Tiger Stadium.
And
you got South Alabama.
And that game also has been moved. It was supposed to be a night game. Now they've moved that. Either it's going to be a 2:35 game or 3:15.
Against UCLA?
Against UCLA. They moved it to the afternoon.
Yeah, so.
Television say this is when you're going to play it.
Well,
that's when you're going to play.
Okay, I can tell you this. I'm just being fair. Whether you like this or not. If the Saints beat the Cowgirls, it will be an upset. And I would say right now, so far, if LSU would beat like a team like Ole Miss, it would
be an upset.
An upset, yeah. I'm not saying you can't win,
but it would be an upset.
Yeah, it's not like we're gonna beat them. No, it'd be an upset. And Big John, I look at the Saints. I mean, you could say Dennis Allen, this and that, but if you look at it, no Saints coach has ever won 3 straight home openers. Sean Payton, Jim Mora, whoever. You go back to when the team first started, no one has won 3 straight home openers, and Dennis Allen has done that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very significant stat. But, you know, guys, all I heard last week leading up to the game was that the Falcons were going to be the ones that were going to run away and hide with the NFC South. And then my lovely wife's Pittsburgh Steelers and their one-man wrecking crew, T.J. Watt, you know, went absolutely ape you-know-what on Kirk Cousins. And
was,
you know, all
was
I
he
heard
a bad man yesterday? T.J. Watt.
Oh, man, he was playing
Good
out of his
God.
Body.
T.J. Watt, okay, you know when you got, like, the Bosa family? You look like the Chargers, 49ers, they're studs. Boy, you talk about a gene pool. Then you look at the Watt family. J.J. Watt was an unbelievable football player, but he ain't his younger brother. T.J. Watt with the Steelers, is he a human? I mean, that dude is unbelievable. Mike, when you think about when you look at the production of a player and the Steelers, how they're structured, the Steelers under Mike Tomlin, they can have a boring team, but you'd be shocked if they don't win like 9 games or something. And the Steelers might not win anything, but you look how they went to Atlanta, what they kicked, 6 field goals. They didn't even do it. They just played.
Man, Atlanta's defense played well enough to win, but
yes.
Kirk Cousins. He was El Sucko yesterday, Bob.
And I'm a Kirk Cousins fan.
Man, he wasn't good
but
yesterday.
But he played.
But he don't play.
He ain't played in forever, and I'm good. To me, until you knocked him off the throne, you know who did not suck, and I tell you what, has some swag with him, Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. Look what Baker Mayfield has done with the Bucs.
Okay, I mean, told this. Charlie knows this about picking the winner of the NFC South. I told him until otherwise, Tampa Bay.
Right, right. Me. Everybody wants to crown Atlanta, and then the Saints won't be relevant. And you look Tampa Bay because the Saints have won the NFC South like 4 seasons in a row. But as of right now, Tampa Bay. I mean, Baker Mayfield. How you handle adversity? Right now, the Cleveland Browns fans, they go, why don't we bring back Baker, get rid of Deshaun Watson?
Okay.
The Browns fans wish they had Baker Mayfield.
Mary Kay Cabot, who's been on the show a lot of times, she covers the Browns. She said it's the most Browns thing in the world for Baker Mayfield to be a star in Tampa, and we get the star, Deshaun Watson, and he's lousy here.
Yeah, I hadn't done anything.
Unbelievable. Thanks so much for the call, Big John. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more second guests and Tim Rebo on our Thibodaux Regional Health Systems Coaches Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we throw it to the Saints Radio Network. Be the Saints Coaches Show, Mike Haas hosting. Bobby will join Mike, and he'll have on with him Saints head coach Dennis Allen and Saints special teams coordinator, assistant head coach Darren Rizzi. And then Monday Night Football right here on the Big 870 starting at 7:30, Jets 49ers. On our Oakwood Hardula's Talk and Text line, it's our Coaches Show with Tim Rebo, and it's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, Timmy, for a while you had him kind of shocking the world just how well your football team played. You got to be proud of the effort given out there in Tiger Stadium. And I was talking to JT Saturday on our pregame show and talked about 93 young men from the state of Louisiana. Every one of them, Tim, they dreamed of playing in Tiger Stadium, got a chance to play, and, man, you guys battled hard.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for having me. I appreciate it. I am proud of the effort, and, you know, I also want to give a big shout-out to the Sea of Red that was there supporting, man. It was quite a showing. They were loud. Our players knew they were there, big support. I know that we had a lot of Colonel fans, and I think, you know, after talking to a lot of people, we might have won over some other people, and we'll have a few more fans on our back. But the guys played hard. We didn't play well to start the game. We kind of fell behind and shot ourselves in the foot, but we came back and, man, made it a one-score game early in the third quarter, so I was proud of their effort.
Now, you know, Coach Rebo, if I'd have told you that you're going to possess the ball 7 minutes more than LSU in time of possession, If you say, oh, yeah, Bob, say, Coach Weball, looked at my crystal ball. Y'all going to have the ball 7 minutes more in time of possession. And then when you look at what transpired, the Colonels in their first possession in the second half, Guggenheim all of a sudden took off untouched 67-yard touchdown run. Props to him. He didn't get caught. But if I'd have told you that you're beginning in the second half and it's 23-21, the only difference been, you talk about how you started the game between the two teams, that punt snap, and then all of a sudden you get a safety there, or would be a tie game. I mean, that's something that I don't know if you went to bed Friday night and you were dreaming that, but what was in Coach Rebo's mind? It's like, damn it, we in the freaking hunt. I mean, you know, we're in the second half, and it started. And we right there, and considering when all said and done, you're able to finish the night with 178 gained rushing yards against, the mighty state school, the top dog, LSU. And then you know what I love more than anything? That you took him a check for $760,000.
I knew Bob would have that on top of the priority list.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we are right there. We got to help our budget and all that. And then, LSU had to pay us to play them tough.
Well, first of all, I thought our coordinators did a great job of putting a game plan together that's, you hope to think to give you a chance to stay in a game against one of the premier programs in the country, a top 10 program. And I told the team this morning in our team meeting that, it was a good game plan, but you still had to go out and execute it. And I thought offensively they did a good job. And you would think that, to give yourself a chance, you got to try to possess the ball, keep it out of their hands. And even that doesn't always work at times because they could be so explosive on offense. But we kept it out of their hands. We got the ground game going. And let me just tell you something. Old number 19 is a little faster than you think when he got the ball in his hands.
Timmy, he told me he lost some weight in the offseason because he told me, he said, Mr. Mike, I do listen to the show, and you always make that comment about your second number. And he said, I think you were right in saying maybe it was four, maybe at times it clipped five. But he said, I'm 223 right now. So he said, I lost some weight, and he said, I wanted to get quicker and faster. But you did that also without Jalen Spears in the backfield. Coach, that was impressive because of the fact that, with Colin, he was splitting time with Jalen in the backfield. Who was the Southland Conference Offensive Player of the Year last year?
Yeah, that was big. Jalen was nursing an injury from the week, and he was a game-time decision, and we decided to hold him out. And Colin had to bear the load. And we did some things and put him back there in the Wildcat. And, we had a couple other backs. Corey Warren did a good job, and Marquise Albert came in and did some things and took the pressure off of Colin a little bit. So, yeah, we're trying to get Jalen back because that good 1-2 punch that we can have rolling that we had going in week one.
Now, Coach Rebo, to me it seems very similar to last season. Your upcoming opponent, I'm looking at Sacramento State. They play within their backyard, San Jose State, Fresno State. They're always noted as, like you are with Incarnate Word, a possible a playoff team to represent the conference, but you better pack a lunch against Sacramento State. I mean, and you can't get discouraged because then you play in conference play, but you know how good Sacramento State is that maybe the local fans here in Louisiana aren't familiar with. But they are about as good as they get. I still say 1AA, Sacramento State, they sound like one of those Dakota schools or Montana or Montana State.
They close.
Yeah, they are. And look, good program. They are a top 10 team in FCS right now, and they're big. They're probably one of the biggest FCS teams around that we played and will play. Really big across the front, very athletic. They're going to be tough. They don't shy away from competition like we don't in either early in the season. But they'll be excited because they'll be playing their home opener. We got to make the trip out to California. We got to wait to see what this weather's going to do this week, probably going to alter our plans a little bit. But, coming off the performance, Bobby, we still just got to line up. We got to go be Nichols. We got to be who we are and do some of the things that helped us be successful this past weekend. I did tell the guys this. We, we played better. We made an improvement this weekend against a better opponent. So hopefully we can make some strides and continue on the uphill climb and, you know, be ready to go when conference gets around.
Coach, I thought the biggest jump from the week before at Tech, and, man, Pat McQuaid, he didn't have a good game against Tech.
No, he did good against LSU.
Was he hot against LSU throwing the football? And that's the McQuaid I saw a year ago. That, you know, he's a rhythm-type passer. I don't know what happened against Tech. He was just a little off, maybe the field conditions, whatever. But I thought he really did a great job sort of handling things out on the field and throwing the football with great accuracy against LSU.
Yeah, you're right. He did. He didn't have a great the week before. We kind of talked about it, maybe tried to do too much. You know, Pat doesn't have to go out and try to win the game for us. You know, he's just got to go out and run that offense like we talk about all the time and be the distributor and get it out there. And he really was. And I thought Coach Rob gave him some good, easy throws to start it off with. The plan was to get it out of his hands. And look, I'll say it again, I thought the offensive line did a really good job against a good defensive line in protecting him. But the plan was to get it out of his hand, and our receivers made some catch. We had some guys, Quincy Brown had a really good game, and Jackson Dufresne had his first couple catches of the year, and Terry Matthews came up big. So all the receivers stepped up and contributed. And, yeah, Pat was on Saturday night.
You know, when I look at it, you build three scoring drives. Again, that goes to time of possession where you had 7 minutes more than the LSU Fighting Tigers. But three scoring drives longer than 75 yards. Now, you take out that 26-yard loss from the safety. Then, like I said earlier, you rush for 178 yards on 38 carries. But you would think, the ball got to come out. LSU then recorded a sack. They notched only, two tackles for a loss in the first half. And then you're talking about the quarterback. You completed all nine of your pass attempts. You know how you're going to spread the ball around and what you're going to do. No, I thought it was unbelievable that the first time the Nichols Cardinals, you go in Tiger Stadium. And you look at it. You know, you trail, 23-14 at halftime. Then it was 23-21 in the third quarter. Your first ever visit the Tiger Stadium. Because, you know, a lot of these kids, whether they're parents or grandparents, you kind of grow up and you know about Tiger Stadium 100 years. And that to have that opportunity to play there. And all I know is that what you represented, I can look at all the local schools because I look at LSU. They ran its winning streak against in-state opponents to 37 in a row. The last setback coming against, my dad said my wife couldn't come anymore. Tulane beat them back in 1982. That was in the Superdome. My dad was blaming my wife because Tulane beat them that game, like Reginelli and all that. You know, Reginelli's pizza, you think. But I'm just looking at how y'all represented and all that winning streak, and I'm glad that LSU's, you know, whether it's Nichols, whether it's McNeese, Northwestern, Southeastern, Grambling, Southern, whoever it might be, that you're helping out the in-state opponents. But I don't know if I've ever seen a university, and I give a lot of credit to you, Coach Weibo, how you represented those in-state schools going against LSU and not only getting paid, but putting up an unbelievable showing.
Yeah, I think you always want to go into those venues and try to compete. And that's one thing I thought our guys did. They competed from the first whistle to the last whistle. And, you know, they knew it was a business trip. They were excited at the beginning of the game. You know, look, anytime you got 90 to 100,000 people, of course it's going to be excited for them. So, and I'm sure a lot of these guys are going to, you know, probably the only time they're ever going to go into a stadium like that as a player. And I'm sure they're going to remember that. So I am pleased with that. And, you know, also one of the other things is just competing and not looking at the scoreboard is what we did. And also we came out relatively healthy because, you know, guys, we talk about that all the time. when you play those schools.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we throw it to the Saints Radio Network. Be the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss hosting. Bobby will join Mike, and he'll have on with him Saints head coach Dennis Allen and Saints special teams coordinator, assistant head coach Darren Rizzi, and then Monday Night Football right here on the Big 870 starting at 7:30, Jets 49ers. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talking Text line, it's our Coaches Show with Tim Rebo, and it's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, Timmy, for a while you had him kind of shocking the world. Just how well your football team played. You got to be proud of the effort given out there in Tiger Stadium. And I was talking to JT Saturday on our pregame show and talked about 93 young men from the state of Louisiana. Every one of them, Tim, they dreamed of playing in Tiger Stadium, got a chance to play, and, man, you guys battled hard.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for having me. I appreciate it. I am proud of the effort. And, you know, I also want to give a big shout-out to the Sea of Red that was there supporting, man. It was quite a showing. They were loud. Our players knew they were there, big support. I know that we had a lot of Colonel fans. And I think, you know, after talking to a lot of people, we might have won over some other people. We'll have a few more fans on our back. But the guys played hard. We didn't play well to start the game. We kind of fell behind and shot ourselves in the foot, but we came back and man, made it a one score game early in the third quarter. So I was proud of their effort.
Now, you know, Coach Rebo, if I'd have told you that you're going to possess the ball 7 minutes more than LSU in time of possession, if you say, "Oh yeah, Bob," Coach Rebo, I looked at my crystal ball. Y'all going to have the ball 7 minutes more in time of possession, and then when you look at what transpired. The Colonels in their first possession in the second half, Guggenheim all of a sudden took off untouched 67-yard touchdown run. Props to him, he didn't get caught. But if I'd have told you that you're beginning in the second half and it's 23-21, the only difference being, you talk about how you started the game between the two teams, that punt snap, and then all of a sudden you get a safety there or would be a tie game. I mean, that's something that I don't know if you went to bed Friday night and you were dreaming that. But what was in Coach Rebo's mind? It's like, damn it, we in the freaking hunt. I mean, you know, we're in the second half and it started. And we right there, and considering when all said and done, you're able to finish the night with 178 gained rushing yards. Against, the mighty state school, the top dog, LSU. And then, you know what I love more than anything? That you took him a check for $760,000.
I knew Bob would have that on top of the priority list.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we are right there. We got to help our budget and all that. And then, LSU had to pay us to play them tough.
Well, first of all, I thought our coordinators did a great job of putting a game plan together that's, you know, you hope to think to give you a chance to stay in a game against one of the premier programs in the country, you know, a top 10 program. And I told the team this morning in our team meeting that, yeah, it was a good game plan, but you still had to go out and execute it. And I thought offensively they did a good job. And you would think that, to give yourself a chance, you got to try to possess the ball, keep it out of their hands. And even that doesn't always work at times because they could be so explosive on offense. But we kept it out of their hands. We got the ground game going. And let me just tell you something. Old number 19 is a little faster than you think when he got the ball in his hands.
Well,
Timmy, told me he lost some weight in the offseason because he told me, he said, "Mr. Mike, I do listen to the show, and you always make that comment about your second number." And he said, "I think you were right in saying maybe it was four. Maybe at times it clipped five." But he said, "I'm 223 right now." So he said, "I lost some weight." And he said, I wanted to get quicker and faster. But you did that also without Jalen Spears in the backfield. Coach, that was impressive because of the fact that, you know, with Colin, he was splitting time with Jalen in the backfield. Was the Southland Conference Offensive Player of the Year last year?
Yeah, that was big. You know, Jalen was nursing an injury from the week, and he was a game-time decision, and we decided to hold him out. And Colin had to bear the load. And you know, we did some things and put him back there in the Wildcat. And, you know, we had a couple other backs. Corey Warren did a good job, and Marquise Albert came in and did some things and took the pressure off of Colin a little bit. So, yeah, you know, we're trying to get Jalen back because that good 1-2 punch that we can have rolling that we had going in week one.
Now, Coach Rebo, to me it seems very similar to last season. Your upcoming opponent, I'm looking at Sacramento State. You know, they play within their backyard, San Jose State, Fresno State. They're always noted as, like you are with Incarnate Word, a possible a playoff team to represent the conference. But you better pack a lunch against Sacramento State. I mean, and you can't get discouraged because then you play in conference play. But you know how good Sacramento State is that maybe the local fans here in Louisiana aren't familiar with. But they are about as good as they get. I still say 1AA. Sacramento State, they sound like one of those Dakota schools or Montana or Montana State.
They close.
Yeah, they are. And look, good program. They are a top 10 team in FCS right now. And they're big. They're probably one of the biggest FCS teams around that we played and will play. Really big across the front, very athletic. They're going to be tough. You know, they don't shy away from competition like we don't in either early in the season. But they'll be excited because they'll be playing their home opener. We got to make the trip out to California. We got to wait to see what this weather's going to do this week. Probably going to alter our plans a little bit. But, you know, coming off the performance, Bobby, we still just got to line up. We got to go be Nichols. You know, we got to be who we are and do some of the things that helped us be successful this past weekend. I did tell the guys this. We played better. We made an improvement this weekend against a better opponent. So hopefully we can make some strides and continue on the uphill climb and, you know, be ready to go when conference gets around.
Coach, I thought the biggest jump from the week before at Tech, and, man, Pat McQuaid, he didn't have a good game against Tech.
No, he did good against LSU.
Was he hot against LSU throwing the football? And that's the McQuaid I saw a year ago. That, you know, he's a rhythm-type passer. I don't know what happened against Tech. He was just a little off, maybe the field conditions, whatever. But I thought he really did a great job sort of handling things out on the field and throwing the football with great accuracy against LSU.
Yeah, you're right. He did. He didn't have a great the week before. We kind of talked about it, maybe tried to do too much. You know, Pat doesn't have to go out and try to win the game for us. You know, he's just got to go out and run that offense like we talk about all the time and be the distributor and get it out there. And he really was. And I thought Coach Rob gave him some good, easy throws to start it off with. The plan was to get it out of his hands. And look, I'll say it again. I thought the offensive line did a really good job against a good defensive line in protecting him. But the plan was to get it out of his hands. And our receivers made some catch. We had some guys. Quincy Brown had a really good game. And Jackson Dufresne had his first couple catches of the year, and Terry Matthews came up big, so all the receivers stepped up and contributed, and Pat was on Saturday night.
You know, when I look at it, you built three scoring drives, again, that goes to time of possession, where you had 7 minutes more than the LSU Fighting Tigers, but three scoring drives longer than 75 yards. You take out that 26-yard loss from the safety. Then, like I said earlier, you rush for 178 yards on 38 carries. But you would think, the ball got to come out. LSU then record a sack. They notched only, two tackles for a loss in the first half. And then, you're talking about the quarterback, you completed all nine of their your pass attempts. You know how you're going to spread the ball around and what you're going to do. No, I thought it was unbelievable that the first time the Nichols Cardinals, you go in Tiger Stadium, and you look at it, you trail, 23-14 at halftime, then it was 23-21 in the third quarter. Your first ever visit to Tiger Stadium, because, you know, a lot of these kids, whether they're parents or grandparents, you kind of grow up and you know about Tiger Stadium 100 years, and that to have that opportunity to play there. And all I know is that what you represented, I can look at all the local schools because I look at LSU. They ran its winning streak against in-state opponents to 37 in a row. The last setback coming against, my dad said my wife couldn't come anymore. Tulane beat them back in 1982. That was in the Superdome. My dad was blaming my wife because Tulane beat them that game. Like Reginelli and all that. You know, Reginelli's Pizza, you think. But I'm just looking at how y'all represented and all that winning streak, and I'm glad that LSU's, you know, whether it's Nichols, whether it's McNeese, Northwestern, Southeastern, you know, Grambling, Southern, whoever it might be, that you're helping out the in-state opponents. But I don't know if I've ever seen a university, and I give a lot of credit to you, Coach Rebo, how you represented those in-state schools going against LSU and not only getting paid, but putting up an unbelievable showing.
Yeah, I think you always want to go into those venues and try to compete. And that's one thing I thought our guys did. They competed from the first whistle to the last whistle. And, you know, they knew it was a business trip. They were excited at the beginning of the game. You know, look, anytime you got 90 to 100,000 people, of course it's going to be exciting for them. So, and I'm sure a lot of these guys are going to, you know, probably the only time they're ever going to go into a stadium like that as a player. I'm sure they're going to remember that. So I am pleased with that. And, you know, also one of the other things is just competing and not looking at the scoreboard is what we did. And also we came out relatively healthy because, you know, guys, we talk about that all the time. When you play those schools, you got to get out of there healthy because you got a lot more football left to play.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Always appreciate it, and best of luck to you and the Colonels this coming Saturday as they play Sacramento State.
Okay, guys. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much. That was head football coach of Nichols State, Tim Rebo, on our Coaches Show, and it's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to close it up here in hour number two right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll have another half an hour here on second guest before we throw it to the Saints Radio Network, Saints Coaches Show with Dennis Allen. Have a lot more also on Tropical Storm Francine right after this news break.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.